Well, it is good to be with you again this morning and have the opportunity to share God's word and God's message with all of you this morning. As you know, if you were here last week, it's through January in the new year here, the month of January. Pastor Arlene and I are preaching, kind of co-preaching another sermon series together, which is a lot of fun for us to be able to get together through the week and talk about what we're going to be preaching on. And I just really appreciate the opportunity. Having been in ministry for 5 years on my own, being the only pastor at the church, I just really appreciate the opportunity to sit down with her and just glean the wisdom and insight that she has into God's word and how it relates to God's people. So I am blessed to be here this morning and to be sharing with you on the baptism of the Lord on this Baptism of the Lord Sunday. So our January, our series, we've said, is going to be about, we're talking about mission, vision, kind of a key phrase you're going to see up on the screen this morning that we've used to encapsulate this message is taking your next step. What is your next faithful step? That's a really good way to think about what discipleship is all about. What does it mean to be a disciple for all of our lives? Discipleship isn't a class that you take and it's 10 weeks long, and then at the end of that 10-week class, it's like, now I'm a disciple for the rest of my life. Discipleship is an ongoing journey, an everyday walk with Jesus, following him into an ever deeper relationship. And so one of just kind of the catchphrases as the discipleship process team met together to talk about that idea of discipleship, we said it's kind of like taking steps, taking your next faithful step. We're on a journey, on a pathway towards becoming fully devoted, fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. So if I were to give this series an overarching theme or an overarching title, that would probably be it, taking your next faithful step. That's what Pastor Arlene and I, in the leadership of this church, want to see happen here at Muncie, are encouraging you to think about that. What is your next faithful step in your relationship, in your faith, in your walk with Jesus Christ? And so the discipleship process team, again, created this image that you see on your screen to help you think about what that might be. And I had just an awesome time diving. It wasn't just business. We dove into the scriptures. And where this image really came out of for us was Acts chapter 2, the Acts 2 community. If you've ever had an opportunity to study the book of Acts, you know that after the Holy Spirit comes down at Pentecost, the ministry of the apostles really takes off, and they start establishing churches, and communities of faith start gathering around this person and message of Jesus Christ. And early followers of Jesus are called followers of the way. And so you have this kind of journey image there. And so we started to really dive into Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, it actually describes what the early Christian communities looked like, some of the characteristic traits of those early communities. And as we read through Acts chapter 2, we were able to identify really five defining marks of the early apostolic church. Five marks. And those marks were worship. They met together to worship God. They had fellowship with one another. It talks about breaking bread together and enjoying meals in times of fellowship. So we've got worship, fellowship, and then we have education. It says that they attended to the apostles' teaching. And so we've got this sort of spiritual discipline, Bible study, we would pretty much call it today, within small group. And then the next one was that they gave generously of themselves. So whether that was their time or also their finances, it said that they pooled their resources together, that they gave to one another as they had need. So generosity and giving was another one. That's four. And then finally, five was this mission evangelism component, that they went out and they shared the good news. And it says at the end of the passage in verse 42, I believe it is, in Acts 2, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So those are really the five marks: worship, fellowship, education, generosity, and mission evangelism. And so we started to think, how could we sort of bring those five marks of the church, those five characteristics, defining marks of what a church is supposed to be. How could we bring them sort of into the 21st century and put that all together in something current that would speak to people? And out of that process came the image that you see before you. And so you can kind of see the arrows, which denotes this sort of pathway, this journey that we're on. And I know it's nice and light and bright up here. The one I'm looking at is a little smaller. So you can see these key words that come out of that Acts chapter 2 church, celebrating. And that's the worship fellowship component. We're going to talk about that this morning. Then you've got growing deeper, right, through education and small groups and studying God's word. And then you've got giving generously of ourselves. That's that generosity component that you read about in the apostolic church. Giving of your time and your talents and your treasures. And then finally, the reaching wider component. That's the mission evangelism component of that apostolic church. So we thought this really well encapsulated those five marks of the early church that we want to be defined as today. That's what we want our five defining marks of our church to be, that we are people who gather together to worship and to fellowship and to grow spiritually in our knowledge of God and of his word, and then to be generous in giving of ourselves, and then finally to reach out with the light of Christ to serve others. So I want you to think about that, and then we put this title above it that says, take your next step. What is your next faithful step? As you see these words on the screen, where is your next faithful step going to come? Which one of those kind of blocks of the sidewalk, if you will, is your next faithful step going to come in? Maybe it's that you want to, this year, in the new year, really make an effort to attend church more regularly than you have in the past. You want to make worship, regular worship attendance, one of the steps, the next steps that you're going to take. Or maybe you come to church really regularly, but you want to make fellowship, getting involved in the life of the church beyond an hour on Sunday morning, part of your next faithful step. Or maybe you're already doing that, and it's like, hey, I want to start attending a small group and really diving into God's word, having an opportunity to discuss and share in small groups. Pastor Arlene is going to be leading a small group here in the coming weeks, and then we're going to jump into another small group opportunity during Lent as we do our Lenten study, similar to what we did in Advent. Maybe for some of us, we get to that generosity portion, and we say, well, I'm involved in the life of the church, I come to worship, but I know that my next step for me is to really start giving generously of myself. Maybe it's that I tithe 5%, and I want to try to get to 7% this year, working towards that word we use in the church, tithe, which is tenth, giving a full 10% of my income to the church. I know that's a challenge for a lot of us, and so that's something that maybe we're journeying towards. And then after we get to 7 or 8%, then we're going to make that next step to a full 10%. And then finally, the reach wider part. Maybe I'm engaging in these other ways, and for me, it's now a part getting my hands dirty. That's my next faithful step. I want to not just be a consumer of what goes on here, a consumer of religion, but I want to go out and I want to share through word and deed and service what God has done for my life. So I want you to think about that as we start out in 2019. And really, this becomes a circular thing where just because you get to step four doesn't mean now I'm done, right? You're never done. And so there's always ways throughout these four steps that we can go deeper and deeper with Christ. This morning, as we think about next faithful steps, I want to talk with you specifically about, I think what I see as the entry point to all of this, if you were, the first step for someone who follows Jesus. And so this morning, I want to talk with you about the celebrating component, celebrating new life together in Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about the many, many different stories in the Bible that talk about this concept of new life, experiencing new life in Jesus Christ. And the one that really I always come back to, it's a beautiful story, is the parable of the lost son, or depending on how your Bible terms it, the parable of the prodigal son. And in this parable, you might remember it, Jesus tells a story of a son who decides to leave home, and he asks his father for his inheritance early. And so he goes out and he takes this money, and on his own, the son frivolously spends all his money, and he winds up eating corn cobs in the pigsty with the pigs. And so here he finds himself sort of at this low, miserable point in his life, and he realizes that he has messed up, and at his wit's end, he decides to return home, and he's hoping that his father will at least receive him back as a slave, that he can work for his father. Instead, of course, his father, even when the son is far off, he sees him coming, and he runs out joyously with open arms, and he receives his son back. And he does this with open arms because he recognizes that his son has been on a journey, a spiritual journey. His son was lost, but he had at last returned home and was found. And so this becomes cause for celebration. This is actually the end of this story. The text says this. The father says, "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Friends, here at First United Methodist Church, our mission statement opens with the words that call to mind this parable of celebrating over the lost being found. Celebrating new life together in Jesus Christ. You know, each one of us is sitting here today because we were dead in our transgressions. But thanks be to God, by His grace, we are alive again. We have been given new life. I think this is something worth celebrating. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come." You see, this reality of what Christ has done for each one of us sitting here this morning, this is what gives us cause for celebration. This is why we're here. It's really, I think, the only thing worth celebrating. In fact, the new life that we have received together in Christ is the reason we're all sitting here in the first place. I mean, think about that. Think about that. That's why we're actually here and we gather together. I was thinking about all of the different things that happen in this church. Trustees, you are only here fixing building issues that arise in this place because of the new life that we have been given in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here in the first place. Council members, you gather monthly to discuss the business of the church and share your committee reports only because of the new life that we have each been given in Jesus Christ. Without that, there is no business to discuss because we're not here. Every check that is written, every budget that is balanced, every light that is turned on, and every floor that is swept in this place happens because of one reason. You and I have been offered new life in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And so I ask you this morning, is that not worth celebrating? Is that not something worth celebrating? And I want to remind some of you this morning, especially those of us that maybe say, well, this new life, that happened a long time ago for me. You know, it's not just something that happens to us at one moment in our life, maybe for some of us many years ago. New life is something that greets you every morning you get out of bed. It's something that lays claim over your life as you go about your day, and it's the grace of God that tucks you into bed every night. The Bible says it this way, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, for great is God's faithfulness." And so today is the day in our church calendar when we remember that Christ Himself gave us a sign, something tangible to celebrate and mark this new life that we are here celebrating, this new life that we have received and are receiving today. And of course, what I'm talking about is the sacrament of baptism. Though John had been baptizing, the text says this morning, Jesus comes with a new kind of baptism, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, a baptism with fire, a baptism of power, of transformation, a baptism that changes lives and makes people new. Now, again, I don't know about you, but I think that's something worth celebrating. New life gives us cause to celebrate. The question then, I think the follow-up question is, how do we celebrate? How do we go about celebrating? I started to think of that this week. And three, you probably could come up with more than three, but three really good ways came to mind. And I want to briefly share them with you this morning. Three ways that we celebrate. We've already mentioned one of them in our text this morning. Baptism is one way that we celebrate the new life that God has given each in every one of us. And the other sacrament in the United Methodist Church is the sacrament of Holy Communion. This is another way that we celebrate the ongoing new life that we receive as a gift of God's sanctifying grace, the ongoing work of grace in our lives that changes us and transforms us and strengthens us. That's what communion is. John Wesley called communion the food of the soul, because he saw that this act of grace and repentance and growing in our faith that we experience through communion, that is something that strengthens us for the journey of faith that we're on. And so one way that we celebrate new life together is through the sacraments of the church that were instituted by Christ himself for us. Another way that we celebrate new life together is through our worship. Worship is simply telling God how great he is and how much we love him. That's what we're doing when we come here to worship. Worship is an outward expression of our gratitude for the new life that we have received in Christ. It's an expression of gratitude. It's our way of saying, God, thank you for what you've done and are doing in my life, for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon me, for being with me in the good times and the hard times. And I think when we truly begin to encounter the presence of God in worship, which is simply the Holy Spirit that we read about this morning descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove, when we truly encounter the Holy Spirit, our worship moves, catch this, from duty to privilege. When we begin to experience the Holy Spirit in worship, our experience moves from duty, I'm here because I'm supposed to be, to privilege, I'm here because I want to be here. And then when that begins to happen, when worship moves from duty to privilege, that's when real transformation begins. That's when real transformation begins, when the Holy Spirit moves in our lives and we invite that in. We say, I want to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit like Christ did in the Jordan River. I want to receive that kind of transformation. God, come and fill me with your Spirit like that. Man, when that starts to happen, worship moves from duty to privilege. And then we experience real and deep and meaningful transformation in our lives. And so we've got the sacraments, and we've got worship, two ways that we celebrate this new life. And then finally, a third way that we celebrate new life together in Jesus Christ is through our fellowship with one another. We get together and we enjoy a celebration, call to mind what God is and has done and is doing in our lives. Our fellowship with one another is simply one more way that we celebrate new life. And I want you to really think about the reality that as Christians who gather together in the presence of the Lord and under the name of the Lord, our fellowship is with one another is really then more than just a social experience. It becomes a spiritual experience. Fellowship with one another is ultimately fellowship with the God who lives in each one of us. 1 John 1, verse 3 says it this way. We proclaim to you, the disciples are talking, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. You see how that works? When you have fellowship with us, the disciples say, and we have fellowship with God, really who you're having fellowship through us is God. When we have fellowship with one another, we are having fellowship together with God. By being connected to one another, we are connected to God. It's what we call the family of God. Together, we make up the children of God as part of the family of God. And so our fellowship becomes yet another way of joining together and celebrating the new life that we have all received because of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to close with this thought. I really like the reading this morning from the prophet Isaiah chapter 43. Did you catch those words in the middle? God is doing something new. Do you perceive it? Do you perceive it? I believe that God is doing something new here in this place. I've been here now for 6 months, and I have been so excited to be here. And the reason that I'm so excited to be here is because I believe with all my heart that God is doing something new in this place. That I've seen in the lives of individuals that come here and worship here and are in leadership here, that they are excited about what they know God is going to continue to do in this place. And there is a lot of energy and excitement around this new year and about where God is going to continue to lead us. God is doing something new here at First United Methodist Church. I've seen it. God is pouring out his spirit on his sons and daughters. God is bringing people back to church that used to come here. God is stirring the hearts of those who have been here for many, many years to take their next faithful step. God is writing a new story on our hearts together. And so together we will cast off fear in the name of Jesus and continue to celebrate the new life that God is bringing each and every one of us. Amen.